Web Marketing That Works podcast, episode number 6.
Welcome to the Web Marketing That Works podcast. Come behind the scenes of real-life marketing experiments and listen in as amazing guests confess the truth about what really works. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Franklin and Toby Jenkins.
Hi there, it's Adam Franklin from the Web Marketing That Works podcast, joined as always by our co-host Toby Jenkins. How are you, Toby?
Good, thanks, Ads. Hi, everyone.
This is the show for people like you who love marketing on the web. You'll be taken behind the scenes of real-life marketing experiments. We look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. We confess what's failed and reveal the truth about what really works.
This show is brought to you by our new book, Web Marketing That Works, and specifically the bonus templates that go with it. So jump on over to bluewiremedia.com.au/book to download the 33 free templates.
And a very big shout out to those listeners that left us a 5-star review. Thank you to Sean Bowes, Pat Jerry, Tom Oakley, Tom Bebington, and Peter Downs. As you may know, we launched the podcast on iTunes last week, and we kicked off with 5 shows. And thanks to the support of listeners like you, in the first 24 hours, we not only got onto the new and noteworthy, but we were also the number one podcast in business, as well as the number one podcast in the subcategory of management and marketing. And surprisingly and excitingly, the 5th top podcast on all of iTunes. So thank you very much for your support. And thank you for the 5-star reviews as well. Our goal is to continue delivering actionable advice through the podcasts.
Thanks so much, everyone. Really appreciate the support on that.
And the guest for today's show is a fellow Australian called Glenn Murray. And it's exciting because in today's episode, we go back in time and discover not only his SEO journey, but also how he met pro blogger, aka Darren Rouse. And we also dive into Glenn's love of Google Plus, and we discuss whether it's one of the right platforms for you to be on. So how about we get on with the show, Tobes?
Sounds good.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Web Marketing That Works podcast. My name is Adam Franklin, and I have the very great pleasure of being joined by Glenn Murray. Thanks for joining us, Glenn.
G'day, Adam. How's it going?
Really well, thanks. So, listeners, I'll introduce Glenn. Glenn is a friend of mine, but he is a specialist website copywriter and the author of SEO Secrets and Practical SEO Copywriting. He runs an Australian copywriting studio, Divine Write, and over his 20-year career, he's worked for some of the world's biggest brands, including Toyota, IBM, Virgin, Honeywell, Westpac, Commonwealth Bank, Telstra, and Big Pond. Prior to starting Divine Write, Glenn worked as a technical writer in the software industry for 9 years, writing manuals and online help. He has a Master of Arts in International Communication and a Bachelor of Arts in English Literature and Linguistics. He's a father of 3, an opportunistic reader, a bit of a geek, and when time permits, a runner. For more information, check out divinewrite.com.au. Now, Glenn, that's a detailed introduction. I just wanted to add in personally that I first met Glenn when I couldn't be found on Google. So my own business, Blue Wire Media, we could not be found in the first 10 pages of Google. And I turned to the internet and I was looking for SEO help because I just simply didn't understand how it all worked. And Glenn Murray's book, SEO Secrets, just kept coming up. And the reviews were all sensational, and I just had to check it out. So I bought it. I love the book. I implemented what I learned from Glenn's book. And, you know, within 3 to 6 months, we were on the first page of Google, up at number 3, and then within another 3 months, up to number 1 for terms like Web Design Brisbane. Now, this was back in 2009. So, Glenn, thanks for the original insights through the book, and thanks for the friendship ever since. How have you been?
Yeah, good. And thanks for the glowing introduction there. I think the SEO ebook has been an introduction for me to meet quite a few people, and certainly one of the biggest things I've learned in my career as a copywriter has been SEO, and one of the most important things. Because when I first started out in copywriting, I was like you, I was really struggling. I had no business coming in. In my first year, I made literally 1,000 cold calls on the phone, and quite a few of those turned into leads and eventually into clients. But overall, the hit rate was quite low. And when my wife fell pregnant, I ended up having to take a contract in the city of Sydney, and as a marketing coordinator, which was not a nice thing to happen, since I'd just been running my own business for a little while. I felt like I'd kind of failed. But one of the things my boss there at the contract wanted me to help him with was his SEO. And I told him at the original interview, I didn't know how to do SEO per se. I knew how to do SEO copywriting. And he said, well, that's fine. Don't worry. We've got someone looking after the SEO. In broader terms, we just need you to do the copywriting. So when I came in on Monday, got ready for work, and he came over and he said, oh, I changed my mind. I need you to do the SEO too. And I said, well, I don't know how. And he said, well, I'm paying you. Figure it out. So I learned in a very similar way to how you learned, Adam. I turned to the internet and found some people on some forums and some communities who would help me. And I wrote down everything I knew. And being an ex-technical writer, it was really important for me to, because that's kind of how I learned, by writing this stuff down. And eventually I had enough that I thought, hey, I could sell this. And, I thought I could. And I tried for about 6 or 8 months and failed dismally, and ended up giving the book away for about 3 years, simply because I had no idea how to sell stuff online. So it was during that giving away process that I met a lot of people. And this is before 2009. I think it's back in around 2003. But I met a lot of people in that process who were going through the same thing that I'd been through. And that was a big part of my social media learning experience as well, because I learned from personal experience how important it was to help people. I had both been helped and had helped others, and it was just not only personally gratifying but really professionally rewarding. So the book, the SEO ebook, was a real focal point in the early part of my career as a copywriter.
That's very interesting to hear, Glenn, because, you know, I was just so overwhelmed by SEO before I understood it. And most of the blog posts that I saw on the internet were quite confusing and very jargony. And it just wasn't, you know, connecting with me in a way that I could actually understand and implement. And then when I read yours, it was actually written as if it was to a human being. And it was, whilst it did cover some technical areas, because you need to with SEO, but it was just explained in layman's terms, which I just found so useful. And to learn, you know, to have those learning curves fast tracked by someone who's been through the pain before just makes such a difference. So for me, that was $79 very well spent. Glenn, can you give us a brief overview of your business?
Yeah, sure, Adam. As you mentioned, I'm a website copywriter. I work from my home on the New South Wales Central Coast, just north of Sydney, about an hour and a half drive from Sydney. I work in a converted garage. It's nothing glamorous. And I'm a single operator. I've always been a single operator since I started the business in 2001. I've tried other models like outsourcing, but for me, the single operator business is the way to go.
Nice. And Glenn, what would you say your web marketing philosophy is?
Well, I think, at least from personal experience, what I think is most important about web marketing is that you share your knowledge freely. I mean, don't give away your IP, your intellectual property, but you do have to share deep, helpful content, you know, stuff that won't go out of style. And they call that, you know, evergreen content or whatever, you know, these long-lasting resource content, and that's what it has to be. You can only get so much mileage out of the cheap and nasty, the stuff, the low-hanging fruit. At some point, you have to really make an effort and write something that has some thought in it and that is thought-provoking. And you can call that thought leadership if you like, but it doesn't always have to be. You don't have to be leading the charge. You just have to be offering your opinion and giving some depth to it. I think the other really, really important thing is building genuine relationships on social media. And you and I have done this, Adam, even though we've only met once or twice in person, you introduced me as a friend and I consider you a friend. And I think that's a testament to the power of social media. You know, a lot of people turn their nose up at the whole concept of being able to build a relationship online. And they liken that to the whole prejudice that people have about online dating, which is ridiculous because you can't see someone in person doesn't mean you can't get an understanding of who they are and what they're all about. So I think building genuine relationships is absolutely imperative. And this kind of harks back to the sharing your knowledge freely. Help people. And, you know, sharing your knowledge freely is I mentioned that in terms of writing articles, but it doesn't always have to be writing content. It can be answering people's questions or sharing their posts, commenting on their blog posts, sharing their social media updates, liking them or plus one their social media updates, answering tough questions that they ask. Supporting them in debates, defending them when they're attacked. And I've seen that happen. A copywriter, and actually probably one of my biggest competitors, Kate Toon, has been attacked a couple of times online. Really ridiculous stuff. I won't say who it was, but he's a goose. And I just couldn't stand to see her unjustly attacked like that, and I did, you know, rush to her defense. Not that she needed defending, but because she deserved it. So, you know, those sorts of things I think make for a real and genuine engagement online. Outside of that, you definitely have to give everything you do a really, really good professional, polished web design or visual design. And that's not just your website. That's anything from proposals to your social media profiles, even your photos have to be really polished. And once you've done all of that, obviously I have a bias, but I think, you know, it's a good idea to have your content professionally written. But I will say that if you don't do all of that, having your content professionally written is almost a complete waste of time because no one will see it and no one will read it. If you don't share your knowledge, if you don't have deep, good relationships, if you don't help people, and you don't have a good design, people aren't going to feel compelled to read what you write. So you can pay the best copywriter in the world, but a lot of that money is just going to go down the drain.
Yeah, some really interesting points there on the marketing philosophy. I think, I mean, sharing that content has just been so phenomenal from my personal point of view as well. But the fact that you can get to know people so well through social media has been just so groundbreaking. Because when we both started our businesses, you know, social media, as we know it, didn't exist. There was no Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus. But since that has sort of come onto the scene in the last sort of half a decade or so, the fact that you can actually, I feel, get to know people a hell of a lot better online almost than you can offline, because I was able to read your best thinking and your best work in the form of, you know, two ebooks. Whereas that's probably not stuff, if we'd met face to face, say at the pub, it's unlikely that you would have, you know, sort of talked to me in great detail about the ins and outs of SEO over a beer. We would have got to know each other socially, but I wouldn't have had that appreciation of, one, your knowledge, and two, your ability to explain that to a layman like me. So I think the fact that you can see people's body of work online, assess them online, I think that's a whole new dimension to the relationships that, you know, can be formed offline and strengthened offline. Like we've been to the same conferences a few times and it's been fantastic, but I doubt that we would have had that same connection had we not necessarily had the opportunity, or had I not had the opportunity of reading all of your work up until that point. So really, really interesting how you introduced that idea of the social media being a strong part of your marketing philosophy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. If we met at the pub, we'd have probably had a few too many beers to actually say anything useful. And if we'd met at a networking event, the pressure to actually do this thing they call networking is overwhelming, I find. And it may be simply because I don't do it enough to be good at it. And I'm so such a recluse here up on the Central Coast in my garage that I don't see that many people professionally in the real world. But I find professional networking events and conferences, while they have their place, I find them exhausting and overwhelming and really, as you say, they don't give you the opportunity to really see people for who they are. They only give you the opportunity to see people for how well they can cope in that environment.
It's a very forced and unnatural environment, I find. And I mean, I certainly find a lot of benefit to it, but only when I have, you know, typically when I know who's going to be there and I can pick a few people who I'd really like to go out of my way to meet and to have a meaningful conversation with, as opposed to just, you know, exchanging business cards with people and, you know, that 30 seconds, you know, a minute or whatever that you speak to people, it's really hard to gauge, you know, what they're about, and it's hard for us, you know, too, to actually convey what we're about too. So, you know, having things like content online and ebooks and a blog and everything like that, people can know you before you meet face to face, and it just helps the relationship that much more, I believe.
Exactly. But having said all of that, I went to an SEO conference. I think it was the first SEO conference I ever went to, and I met Darren Rouse, who's a pro blogger.
Mm.
And we got chatting, and you know, he was the only decent presenter at that conference, and I told him that at the time, and afterwards we ended up co-writing an ebook together. So they definitely, conferences and networking events have their place, but for me personally, I find social media is far more enriching and rewarding and genuine.
And did you know Darren in an online sense before? Had you heard of him before you met him at the conference?
Never.
Interesting.
And he was big too, already big by then.
Yeah.
He was already Australia's leading blogger. He was already making a motzer out of it. So I just was ignorant.
Interesting. And so, Glenn, what have been your major aha moments in your journey so far?
Well, actually, it's funny that Darren came up, because it was Darren who gave me my biggest aha moments. Firstly, at that conference, you know, having never heard of Darren, it was unlikely if I'd been on social media, and I hadn't. I had a couple of social media accounts, but I never got it. I mean, I was on LinkedIn, but didn't get it. I don't think I was even on Facebook. I'd never really even heard or understood about Twitter. So Darren spoke about at the conference about how social media was becoming more and more important for SEO, and this was when it was actually only just becoming important for SEO. And so I got home and created a few social media accounts and started dabbling. And on Twitter in particular, Darren introduced me to his followers. And in one fell swoop, Darren's introduction got me 100-odd followers just by clicking his fingers. And that was a bit of an aha moment. Beyond that, the even better one for me and more valuable, or probably not more valuable because I never followed through, was when we co-wrote the ebook together, the Pro Blogger Scorecard. When it was finished, we did Darren was responsible for the launch, and he knows that stuff like the back of his hand. So he called a soft launch to begin with, which surprised me. His soft launch was to his Facebook and Twitter followers. And at the time, I think between Facebook and Twitter, he had about 250,000 followers. And he announced the book to them and called it a soft launch. And I was blown away that he could call anything that was announced to 250,000 people a soft launch. But he did. And I was tracking, because I was all excited, butterflies. I was thinking, how many, we're going to sell heaps of books. And we did. Over the first hour, I'm just going from memory, but we had maybe a sale every minute, something like that, which was, I was stoked. I thought that was unreal. So I was thinking, wow, man, if that's the soft launch, what comes next? Next, he did the proper launch, which again surprised me, because it went out to his email list. And his email list was only 5 or 10,000 people or something, a minuscule number in compared to his social media, in comparison to his social media following. And again, I was surprised, why would he call that the proper launch when it was such a small audience? But when he did it, I kid you not, the response was instant and overwhelming, as opposed to the social media launch where we were getting one sale every minute or so for the first hour. When he launched to his email list, we were getting a sale every 3 seconds for the first 10 minutes and then maybe every 20 seconds for the rest of the next couple of hours. And again, I don't know the exact numbers on that. It was certainly, that's the impression it left me with, and that's the important thing. I came away with a very clear understanding. We made far more sales out of email marketing than we made out of social media, and far faster. So it really showed me how important a good email list is.
That's phenomenal, those sort of numbers on those launches. But I have heard people like Darren say that email is so much more effective for selling than social media, and that story just goes to show it just how much more powerful it can be when it comes to selling. Of course, I mean, social media obviously has its place for getting to know people and the networking side of things, but wow, that's huge.
Yeah, and I'd heard that before too. Obviously, I mean, it's conventional wisdom. I just never couldn't believe it, because I didn't ever really see myself as being someone who bought as a result of email marketing. So it didn't make sense in my own personal experience. But you know, having seen it, I would never doubt it again. Done properly, it's fantastic.
I bet it was. Seeing all those sales come in must have been awesome.
Yeah, it was a nice lesson to learn for a change.
Absolutely. Now, Glenn, part two of this podcast is the marketing experiment section, where we look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I'd like to start with the good. What have you tried that's worked really well? And can we talk about some specifics?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, and I knew I was going to come back to it having seen this question. The thing that probably worked, one of the two things that worked best for me was article marketing. And this is back again in the days, 2002-ish, 2003 maybe. And article marketing, in case your audience doesn't know, it's not so popular anymore. It's a practice of writing an article, a helpful, informative, useful article, and then submitting it to one or more article directories on the internet. And an article directory is a place where people go, other webmasters go, to find an article that they can publish on their website for free. So they would grab my article, publish it on their website, attribute it to me, and link back to my site from theirs. And I wrote probably 100 articles. They're all good quality stuff, and submitted them to all sorts of article directories. The article directories themselves link back to you as well, but they never really counted for that much. It's all about the people taking the articles, publishing them on their site, and linking back to you from there. And so as a result of that, I got literally thousands of backlinks, and that was originally what built my ranking. I never had a blog. You know, in the early days, I didn't blog at all. I just wrote articles for article directories. So that was an absolute winner for me. It got me to the top of Google. For a little while, I was, I believe, number one in the world for copywriter, and certainly, you know, for years, number one in Australia for copywriter. And it took years for people to even get close to challenging that position, because no one seemed to understand or want to understand SEO. So that was probably my biggest, and since then, obviously, the social media epiphany, understanding originally through Darren how important it was, and then doing it and seeing how rich and rewarding Twitter is. And since then, moving on from Twitter, I still use Twitter, but my preference is definitely Google+, and it's kind of an expansion of what I found in Twitter. It's kind of like a cross between Twitter and Facebook for me, Google+. It's the best social media platform I've ever used. So between the two of them, they are the experiments that I would say have worked the best, social media and article marketing.
And how about the bad, Glenn? What's failed? What did you learn? And what might you have done differently?
Well, I think probably the things that have failed for me haven't been so much marketing techniques as entrepreneurial attempts. I started a couple of different software ventures, one in article marketing. I planned and designed the software Logic for a product to automatically distribute free reprint articles, like I was talking about, to all of the article directories, because there were about 100 odd useful article directories, and I used to have to manually submit each of my articles to each of those directories, and it just took forever. And there eventually popped up, you know, some Indian service providers who would submit your article for $5 to all of them, but they didn't always do a good job, and it wasn't always an easy thing to do. So I planned the software, but it never got off the ground simply because I didn't have the resources. And another one was freecopywriting.com, which was a kind of an adaptation of the whole article marketing phenomenon, where instead of an article, making an article available for free republishing in return for a link, I wrote copy that you might use on your website, and I put it on freecopywriting.com, and it was all categorized. So if you were an IT company, you could go into the IT category and grab some web copy from that category that you could then put on your own website to promote your own product in return for a link back to my site. So it was a similar concept, but it didn't work either. And I think, honestly, the biggest problem, it never got off the ground, was because I didn't have the resources to get off the ground. But I count myself lucky that it didn't, because both of those products were built on a particular state of Google's algorithm, the way that Google worked at that time. If I hadn't invested a lot of money in those products and they had gotten off the ground, they'd have only collapsed 6 months later, because Google changed its algorithm so that article marketing stopped working. And then in a similar way, because freecopywriting.com was based on that article marketing paradigm, it would have stopped working as well. So I'm pretty lucky that I failed. And they were, for me, they were pretty dismal failures, but they weren't really, you know, dead set shockers, because I'm risk averse. And even though I went into it with a great deal of optimism, I was never naive to the fact that Google can and does change its algorithm quite often. So in part, I was lucky that they didn't work, but in part, you know, it was maybe because I was risk averse and because I was still at least a little bit smart that it didn't.
Mm. Now, just on a little side note here, what do you make of Matt Cutts's recent bombshell that guest blogging won't be as effective? Is guest blogging destined for the path of article marketing, or is it a different story?
Yeah, I think Matt Cutts' bombshell, as you call it, has caused a bit of a storm in a teacup, to be honest. I mean, there's no way in the world Google is going to disregard quality guest posts on someone's blog just because they're guest posts. It would be shooting itself in the foot. If it's good quality, it'll still work. What Matt's really saying is that all you people who are out there indiscriminately emailing 1,000 webmasters saying, "I can guest post for you," and then hoping that will actually get you a high ranking, those people are in trouble, because Google's sniffing them out. And so for them, yes, it's the end of guest blogging. But for anyone else who does it properly, and I've guest blogged once on ProBlogger's site, and I've guest blogged on a couple of copywriter websites. I don't do it that often, but I was interviewed on the Balsamic website. They do wireframing prototyping tools. So those sorts of things where I was asked to or offered, where I offered to provide some useful information that would be helpful to their readers, and it was in-depth and on topic and well-written and provoked quite a few comments, those sorts of posts, why would Google punish them? Why would they penalize that? That's just not going to happen. So, yes, it's true that guest blogging, as it's become, the spam guest blogging will go. But spam across the board is going to go. It's going to be harder and harder for the spammers to compete, to try to game Google.
Okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually, because, I mean, as a webmaster myself or blog manager, whatever you want to call it, you get handful of those every single day from people who, you know, it doesn't have a company name, it doesn't have like a, you know, business email address or anything. It's all these spammy looking email addresses from people who are saying hi webmaster or hi friend or hi there. They haven't even bothered to look up who you are. So
yeah, I can greetings see why, of the day.
Greetings of the day. Yeah, I can see why Google's it's trying to stamp that out, because it's awfully annoying having all that spam come in. But I guess if it's good quality content and it's from a reputable person, so there's that real human relationship, then that makes perfect sense that Google would continue to reward that, because it's ultimately in the best interest of the people using the search engine, I guess.
That's right.
Now, Glenn, if you were starting from scratch, what would your advice be to people starting out? What would you do first?
Well, I would definitely engage the best designer I could afford, and probably the best designer I couldn't afford, to create a brilliant website, to have the best website in my industry. Because few things tell your customer you are the best as well as the best website. And I've found through personal experience that it makes a massive difference to not only the number of clients you get, but the quality of clients you get. I would forget all social media platforms, but one or two. And for me, my preference is again, Google Plus without a question, and Twitter. Otherwise, you're just spreading yourself too thin, and you start second guessing yourself. Should I be posting it here and here and here and here? No, because if you do it everywhere, people, they kind of can tell as well, but you tend to offer less in terms of perspective and less of yourself when you're going to every conceivable social media platform.
Glenn, what's next on the marketing front for you?
Well, I don't know that next is even the way I would say it. It's just, what are you going to continue with more than anything? I mean, SEO has always been my main tactic, and it's always worked well for me. And I believe that Google Plus is the future of SEO. You probably heard this, your audience has probably heard this, and they may or may not see why that's the case or agree that that's the case. But I'll give you a bit of a rundown about why I think it is. Google already shows your profile picture next to your search result in the SERPs. So, I mean, that assuming you've set things up correctly, you've linked your website or your blog back to your Google Plus profile, and assuming your quality of your content is good, you get a little picture there when you appear in the rankings. Your picture will appear next to the snippet, but that's just the start of it, and that's pretty good, because you get much better click through with it with your picture next to it, and that's all because of Google Plus. But that's just the start, because Google actually has a patent called the agent rank algorithm, and SEOs call it author rank, but it's really called agent rank. And what that does, it's a way for Google to, I suppose, prejudge the authority of anything you write by looking at other things you've written and by looking at your Google Plus profile and seeing how many followers you have, how many shares you have, how many plus ones you get, how quickly you get them. And the relevance of all of those followers and those shares. So when it looks at everything you've written in the past and how you're progressing on Google Plus, it uses that as an indicator of your authority and says, okay, well, if you've got an authoritative Google Plus profile and you've written stuff in the past that's ranked well for sites that rank well, then your new stuff should probably rank well too. Now, it's not actually, according to all the experts, it's not actually doing that yet, but it certainly has a patent to do that. So, you know, Google doesn't waste time or money, and eventually it will do that, not just because they have a patent, but because it makes sense. It's one of the hardest things to dock to game in the system is actual authority of a person.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to fake being a consistently excellent writer that a lot of people share and link back to, isn't it?
That's right. You can't fake being Rand Fishkin, for instance, and being the authority on SEO, or Matt Cutts, for that matter, or yourself on web marketing. You know, authority is one of the very few things you can't fake. So, yeah, as a result of that, I'm convinced that, you know, Google Plus is the way forward, and I spend all of my time, or nearly all my social media time on Google Plus, and that's where I plan to continue spending my time.
Now, part three of the podcast, Glenn, is where we dive deep into one specific area. So my question to you is, which specific web marketing tactic brings you the most joy and why?
Well, you can probably tell already, it's Google Plus. I'm a big fan, partly because being an at-home worker, I don't get a lot of interaction with real people. You know, I obviously my wife and our family, but in a professional sense, I don't really speak to many people in the real world. So the social interaction of any social media is very rewarding and saves my sanity. Google Plus, I find, is better than other platforms because it's excellent for having long and in-depth conversations and easier to track. It's easier to track those conversations, and it's also easier to meet and listen to interesting, authoritative, credible people, because you've got things like communities, and I just find that it's easier to control what you see in your stream and what other people or who sees who you broadcast your messages to, and then long conversations are easy to have. Whereas on Twitter, you know, it's very easy to lose track of a conversation. You can have three threads going at once, and that can get quite confusing. At Facebook, I find the way that Facebook is limiting the reach of posts in order to persuade you to pay to promote those posts. That's just totally ass about, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to pay so my friends can see the rubbish I post on Facebook, or so that my professional followers can see the things that I post on my Facebook page, when I can do it on Google Plus and get far, far more engagement for free. You know, so definitely Google Plus brings me a lot of joy, because the engagement is very much needed for my sanity, and also very immediate and very measurable.
And I guess you've got the added bonus of every interaction and every piece of content you publish there bolsters your authority in Google's eyes, which surely must have the flow-on effect into the Google search results, hey?
Well, I think the jury seems to be still a little bit out as to whether it is currently improving your search results directly. I mean, it definitely improves your search results in the sense that when I post something on my blog and then I announce it to my Google Plus followers and friends, they will talk about it, and that general buzz can help your search engine presence a little bit, and they may link to it in a blog post of their own, and that can help you a lot. But as for whether... And I think even the links in Google Plus also pass link juice, and that helps you too. But the actual authority element hasn't come into play yet. But knowing every time I get on Google Plus, in the back of my mind, I know that I'm doing this, that it's all going to help me when it does come into play. So everything I do there is, as you say, boosting my authority. And it's important to remember as well with Google Plus, I didn't mention this before, that you don't even have to be using Google Plus to be using Google Plus. you can be just a Gmail user and you're on Google Plus. You don't have to use the social network as such to reap the rewards, nor do the people who follow you. So you can have people in your Google Plus network who don't use Google Plus, and you can not use it yourself, and you can still generate, and you still will be, your authority still will be measured by Google using this agent rank.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's very much, it's a part of everything. You know, there are hundreds of millions of Gmail users. These guys are all going to be on Google Plus, whether they know it or not. They already are.
Sure, sure. So Glenn, what if you can share with us a really effective pro tip for our super advanced listeners, particularly with Google Plus? Like, what are some of the things, the specific things that you do with Google Plus that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think for me, it's the same. I mean, I'm assuming most of your listeners, if not all of your listeners, will have a good handle on how to do things on social media. And for me, it's again, it comes back to building real relationships, helping people, and just being genuine. And that's all tried and tested advice. I would say the one thing that Google Plus has that I think other platforms don't have, well, certainly not in the same way, are communities. I know Facebook has similar things with groups, but I just don't find them as engaging. And that could just be me. I don't like Facebook very much. But so I would say get involved in communities. It's a great way to find people and engage with people and get a lot of activity around the things you say, which is always good for your authority. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in your area of expertise either. I'm a member of a couple of copywriting communities, yes, but I'm also a member of a couple of politics communities and a movie geek community, and I've even created a couple of communities of my own for kind of novelty, like world's worst writing sort of things, where you see terrible lost in translation photos or just things that people should never have written on a website. And another one, which is the opposite, which is called Writers, which is for people to share the amazing things they wish they'd written that other writers have. So beyond that, you know, my only pro tip is to not really look for pro tips. I think there aren't really any secrets in web marketing. You just have to learn the basics and do them well. If you start chasing the latest and greatest in anything, you'll end up just chasing your tail.
Very well said. Very well said. Now, Glenn, I've learned a lot from you. Who have you learned a lot from over the years, either in person or via their public work?
Well, you know, at the risk of sounding like I'm pissing in your pocket, you definitely. Your professionalism and your persistence and dedication and the way you present yourself as, you know, it's almost celebrity marketing from the way I see it. And I know I could never do it, but I've learned a lot about the way you do it. It's shown me a lot about what's possible, just not possible for me. Darren Rouse, definitely, who, again, pro blogger. Just his general social media approach and again, that aha moment with email marketing. Rand Fishkin of Moz, used to be SEO Moz, and Fred Shibesta of finder.com.au. They both go big. They're not scared to try, and that's kind of inspirational. And of course, for me, Noam Chomsky, who's a linguist, but more importantly, a political commentator and social commentator who wrote probably my favorite book, The Understanding Power, which is all about how information flows across media and how that reflects power flows around the world. So these people, none of them are in copywriting, funnily enough, but I think that's one of the important things. It's important not to get too focused on your own area of expertise. Yes, in your content on your site, you've got to stick to the point, but in social media, I think you can range a little bit further than that and still enjoy the benefits.
Yeah, okay. There's, I mean, And so many of the different areas, I guess, begin to converge after a while. Hey, like, I mean, copywriting turned into SEO quite easily, and SEO, you know, blends over into social media and Google Plus quite easily. And it's hard to just stay completely focused on one area because they overlap so well with other areas. And I mean, even just as you say, looking outside the entire web marketing industry, there's so many inspirations that you can find completely unrelated.
And also, you know, people get bored out of their brain hearing you say the same things again and again. There's only so many things I can say about copywriting before people are going to hear me the same, repeating myself. And a good example of this the other day, someone on Google Plus asked for recommendations about who they should follow. They said, tell me who the best engagers are on Google Plus, and I don't want to hear people who are just talking about Google Plus and social media. And this is a mistake a lot of people make getting onto social media. They discover it for themselves and become somewhat of an expert in their own lunchbox, and then they want to just talk about that the whole time, and everyone gets really sick of it. And it's really happening a lot in SEO. And I think partly because people are using it to bolster their own search ranking, and they're trying to stay on topic, and that's the thing they know most about, and they think that everyone else there wants to know about it. It's just, it seems to be self-perpetuating, but I'm finding more and more that I'm paying less and less attention to those sorts of posts and starting to pay more and more attention to the things that really matter in the world.
Yeah, that's funny you should say that. I was just thinking that happens offline as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
People thinking they're legends in their own lunchbox and talking about themselves the entire time and how boring that can be.
Yeah.
So, Glenn, are there any closing thoughts or final pieces of advice for our listeners that you haven't got off your chest yet?
I've gotten a lot off my chest. No, I think I've pretty much said everything. I think it, just to summarise, be yourself, create great content, show personality in your content. I didn't mention that, but that's important. Foster real relationships in social media and offline, as you do, Adam. And be prepared. Unfortunately, be prepared to invest a lot of time for a long time, because it will take that. It's hard work, and it's not going to come quickly.
Ain't that the truth?
Now, yes.
Now, Glenn, how can listeners connect with you?
Well, not surprisingly, Google Plus is my platform of choice, and if you want to find me there, I am /+ Glenn Murray Copywriter. That's GLENNMURRAY Copywriter. And on Twitter, I am Divine Right. That's DIVINEWRITE.
Awesome. I'll put all those details in the show notes, Glenn. And I also encourage listeners to check out SEO Secrets, the ebook, and also Practical SEO Copywriting. Learn everything that Glenn has learned over his career. I've had tremendous value from both of those ebooks, and I can't recommend them highly enough. I'll put links to them in the show notes as well. Glenn, have a great day, and thank you so much for joining us.
You too, mate. Sorry for talking your ear off.
I enjoyed it. I could speak to you all day, but we'll have to call it a wrap.
Thanks, mate. Speak to you soon.
All right. See ya.
See you later.
And there we are, the interview with our good friend Glenn Murray. I really liked how he shared the story of his product launch with Darren Rouse, a.k.a. ProBlogger, and his soft launch on social media, and then how that was just blown away completely by his hard launch using email marketing. And a nice timely reminder, I guess, of, you know, the fact that email really is a lot of marketers' preferred channel when it comes to actually making sales. You know, of course, social media is very good for getting to know people and being social, but email still by far the most powerful way to be making sales.
Yeah, thank you so much to Glenn for coming on the show. And as always, the show's been brought to you by Web Marketing That Works, our book, and specifically the bonus 33 free templates that go with it. So if you're keen to download those templates, please jump over to bluewiremedia.com.au/book. And ads, just before we wrap up the show, I mean, certainly one of the questions I am asked quite frequently is, you know, do I use Google Plus and should I be on it? What do you think?
It's a good question. A couple of years ago, or probably 12 months ago, I would have said, nah, don't really worry about it. But these days, I can honestly say that whether you're a experienced marketer or even just starting out, Google Plus is a very important social network to be on. And the reason I say that is because, one, it has such powerful correlation to what actually happens on Google itself, the search engine, and the more active you can be and the bigger audience you can amass on Google+, the more that is, I'm sure, bound to play out favorably with search results. But the other reason I say it, Tobes, is because social networks like Facebook are making it harder and harder for us to actually interact and connect with the people that we call fans, the people that opt in to, you know, receive updates from us. They're making it hard by forcing us to pay money to promote our posts and to boost our content, which is driving a lot of marketers away from the platform. And the reason why Google Plus is so appealing is because it is still totally free, and I totally expect it to stay that way, because Facebook is, you know, they're both the public companies, Google and Facebook, but Google makes all of its money through AdWords, and that's not going to change, whereas Facebook is still trying to work out how it monetizes its audience. And I think it seems to be going more down the path of charging business owners to reach their own fans, which I know from my own personal experience, I don't particularly enjoy that. So I'm making personally a much bigger push onto Google Plus as well.
Yeah, interesting. I guess I've certainly seen a whole lot more people sort of trying to connect and actively connecting on Google Plus. And there's no doubt that it's increased in popularity and relevance in the last particularly 6 to 12 months. So, it'll be interesting to see how these play out in terms of which platform ends up, you know, owning the market share, I guess. Facebook's got it for the time being, but who knows what's next, hey?
Yeah, totally. It would you would never bet against Google, and I'm certainly enjoying being on Google+.
Cool. Well, listeners, as always, the intent is to deliver actionable advice to you guys, and so your feedback and questions are very welcome. So please let us know via email or Twitter or Google+, actually, if you want. My email address is toby.jenkins@bluewiremedia.com.au, and on Twitter I am @toby_jenkins. Ads?
adam.franklin@bluewiremedia.com.au or @franklin_adam on Twitter. We do look forward to hearing from you guys, and if you have enjoyed the show, it would be very much appreciated if you could leave an honest review on iTunes. And we will aim to give a shout out to all the listeners that leave us a 5-star review. So thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.